vision from God, a revelation, which is called the Revelation Studios. It's going to make a tremendous impact in Hollywood and all over the world, and it's an awesome idea. I mean, it is cool of all cool.
Good morning, everybody. So good to have you guys with me this morning. That was the late, great Mel Novak. We're going to be talking about him a little bit. I'm going to tie his life into how he walked with Christ and how it affected my life and share with you what I believe God has given me this morning to share with you, which I think, man, you know, you go to God and say, God, give me a word. And sometimes these words are so heavy that you can barely carry the words, but they're exciting. Anyway, it's good to have you guys here this morning. We got a lot of people here in chat. Five Acre Farmer. We've got Lori's here. Good morning, Lori. Of course, Shanita's always here. What is that? Psychalones here. All right, this morning is a day that people call Easter. If you guys have been with me for any time at all, you'll know that I cringe when I say the word because it's from Esther. It's worshiping on a sun god. It's all of that. Okay, so we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. And if you haven't been with me for a long time, I'm just telling you that we're to remember Passover. Easter is something that's been man-made. Fine. If people go to church, people get saved, and it's real. I have no issue with that. So I'm not going to let the fact that Easter drag me down with the message that God's given me this morning, how it ties directly into the crucifixion of Christ, because that's really what it's all about, right? So I have learned that you don't compromise, but you let God do what God needs to do with what's happening today, okay? And that's what's really important. Now, I went to a little event on Friday that they call Good Friday. By the way, where did Good Friday come from? You guys put in chat if you have any idea where Good Friday came from. Okay, I'd like to know. I keep thinking Catholics, like fish fries and stuff, but I don't know. But I went to this event, and it had in this big church, a huge church. I call them Six Flags Over Jesus, but I'm not sure if they were apostate or not. It didn't matter, but they had a big display. You walk in, you see Jesus. You take him from the time he's in the garden, talking to God, all the way through to the crucifixion to the resurrection, all right? And it was beautiful. It was a wonderful experience. But there was something that hit me hard Friday, really hard, and I couldn't shake it. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Of all the things that Jesus went through, going through the crucifixion into the resurrection, the one thing that was monumental to me that I want to share with you. I don't want you to go anywhere. Call somebody that you love or somebody that maybe you don't love, or just call somebody. Tell them to tune in. You can see us on davidhebner.tv free. You can watch us on all the social media platforms. And we are going to be talking about the late, great Mel Novak and just a wonderful child of God and how he affected my life and how I believe that this message ties into the story of his life. So I want you to stay with me here. I'm going to bring on my wife and see how she's doing this morning. Good morning, Shanita. How are you?
Good morning. I met someone who at age 19 had to flee Hungary in 1957, and he spent 8 months in the Serbian mountains in a foot of snow at some point, just trying to survive until he could get paperwork to come to the United States.
So now he's here. And okay. And he's able to celebrate whatever. What do you call this holiday today? You know, I don't like to say the word Easter, but I mean, I have to say it to identify it, but churches are calling it Resurrection Sunday. What do you call it?
Well, today actually happens to be the first fruits. And so we're not only celebrating the harvest, but because of Jesus' resurrection, we have life. We have freedom from fear. We are free from bondage. We have his intimacy, his forgiveness.
Yeah, it's Passover, where God said he required us to remember Passover. And this is it. This is the first fruits, folks. And today is a joyful day. And today I'm believing that God, right now we're praying that God takes us out on a higher level in which we came in. Thank you, Lord, for being here, for sending your Holy Spirit. I appreciate it. And Shanita, before I let you go, real quick, people can go to davidhebner.tv and sign up so they can go underground with us in 40 minutes, right? And if they're not a member, they can sign up now. Go sign up, because we're going to be talking about, should we celebrate Easter? Should we celebrate Passover? I'm talking about underground. And we're also going to be talking about Mel, Mel Novak. And they called him the mayor of Skid Row. And so I invite you guys to join us. Just send in a one-time email to admin@davidhebner.tv so that Shanita can send you back a link, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to have you come back, talk about prayer requests and praise reports.
And a special welcome to all of Mel's colleagues we've invited to join with us this morning. This might be your first time to a church service like this, and we're grateful you're here.
Yeah. Hope we don't shock you. But Mel touched a lot of lives. You knew Mel. What's the one thing you'd walk away with from Mel if you had to say something about him? What's the one-liner?
Yeah, his passion for souls to know their spiritual authority and to walk in it.
Yeah, that's right. Your spiritual authority. I wish I had a picture of that armor of God that he would always, you know, have. David got a picture of the armor of God, and he'd give it to me, and I would... he'd give it to me and say, you got to keep this in your pocket. He'd have it in his pocket. Looked like for 25 years, all folded up and everything. All right, Sinead, we're going to bring you back. Love you.
Love you.
All right. Let's get to it, folks. So Hollywood lost a legend this past week, and you may not have ever heard his name. Maybe you had, but he was a true Hollywood legend. A true Hollywood legend, but not because he won Academy Awards or starred in mega budget blockbusters. No. He achieved much more notoriety than that. Not the kind that the Hollywood elite would achieve, the Hollywood crowd. And he never preached to the Hollywood crowd. They called him the mayor of Skid Row. Now, here was an actor, did over 50 plus movies. Starred with many people that you would know, but yet he chose to go down to Skid Row and witness to the people on Skid Row. He could have gone with the Hollywood elites. He could have hung out, you know, in the big time. It may have done a lot for his career, but he chose to go down to the less fortunate, the homeless, the addicts, the hungry, the hurting people on Skid Row. To where he was given the title, the honorary title, and he would tell you, and he wore it proud, David, I am the mayor of Skid Row. That's what they told me. His name is Mel Novak, great actor, good friend, but more important, he was a warrior in God's army. But Mel wasn't just any warrior. He was a high-ranking warrior. He was a general in God's army. I hope you don't mind me using metaphors like this, but there are certain generals that stand out. They lead, they're willing to take the hits, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm believing each and every one of you this morning that are listening to my voice as a general. You're going to step up from being with no ranks, a private, up to being a general, because God has called each and every one of us to be generals. He was best known for his starring role in Bruce Lee's 1978 classic, Game of Death. But he's being remembered as a star this morning. Famously, he performed his own stunts, fighting sequences, for the past 50 years in Hollywood. But because of that, he suffered many injuries, and for the past 20-some-odd years was in deep, deep, severe pain. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And starring in all of these movies, you'd always find him in between his films, holding Bible studies, preaching the word of God, to actors, to crew, and on the streets of Hollywood, in prisons. Mel Novak's tenacity when it came to his preaching God was almost as irritating at times as I could imagine. I would say, Mel, stop. But he wouldn't. He was like a kid in a candy store. It was like a kid waking up on Christmas, his eyes bright. Because that's what he would talk about. Ah, but he loved Last Evangelist. That took him the project. He read the script. He said, David, this is an anointed script. Mel was the one guy that encouraged me and kept me going to help me make it. And before he died, I had given him a part to film in the upcoming episodes of Last Evangelist. And even laying on his bed, I remember several months ago as I went and saw him at the nursing home, he was so excited. When are we going to make Last Evangelist? And as corrupt as the church system is today, using a thing like bunny rabbits hopping around, gathering eggs, and sun god Esther. As corrupt as it may be, I will not let it take away my opportunity to preach the cross and the resurrection. Because that's what Mel would say. We have to preach Christ crucified. But what did that mean, Christ crucified? I would always hear him say that, and I've heard people say that, and it's in the Bible, preach Christ crucified. I didn't understand that until I got the word from God on that Friday, this past Friday. I want to share with you. What did it really mean when Mel said Christ crucified? When I would hear Christ crucified, when you hear Christ crucified, what does it really mean? I told you for the past 30 years that Mel Novak, the actor we're talking about, and passed away this past week. He did his own stunts. And because he did his own stunts, broke almost every bone in his body, and he's suffered severe arthritis for the past 20, 30 years. Continuous, 24 hours a day. To the point where I would talk to him and he would have tears rolling down his eyes. He'd be in so much pain. He was a cancer survivor. I think the chemo almost killed him more than the cancer. But in spite of all that, Mel had a hunger for God. He had a hunger to preach Christ crucified. So as I'm there at that church last Friday, and I'm looking at the account of Jesus, and I'm reading scripture up on the wall, and it's heartbreaking to see and to read the crucifixion of our Lord, of how he suffered the pain of the beatings, the humiliation, the nails in his hands, the thorns in his skull. For you and I, he died for you and I. He took everything on for you and I, so we would not. And as painful as all of that was for me to read, there was nothing that hit home like I'm getting ready to share with you now. Nothing that stood out more than when he was in the garden talking to the Father before he went to the cross, before he knew what was going to happen. I want to show you the scripture. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew he would suffer. Matthew 26, 39. Turn in your Bibles, please. Matthew 26, 39. As we honor you this morning, Lord, as we read your scripture. Going a little further, he, Jesus, fell to his face to the ground and prayed, Father, Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was asking the Father, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? But I know, Father, It's your will, not my will. I want your will to be done, not my will. But Jesus, he knew what he had to do. And even though he was asking the Father to somehow get him out of it, take away the cup, he knew what he had to do, despite the pain, despite the torture, despite the crucifixion. But my question is this morning, what is the cup? What was in that cup when Jesus said, take the cup away from me? There is a cup. There's a reason you have a cup. In a cup, there is something. Otherwise, why wouldn't Jesus say, just don't let this happen? You ever thought about that? But he said, no, take this cup. Which means there's something in it. And this morning, I'm asking God to reveal to us what was in that cup. Was it the cup? In the cup of humiliation, of dying on the cross like a criminal, the pain, the execution? Was it the beatings? Was it the stabbing? Was it the thorns in his head, the nails in his hands? Was it the fact he was going to die? No. No. No, it had to be more. As I said on that Friday, just last Friday, as I was stepping into that church, watching the big screens, and I saw Jesus say, Father, take this cup from me. And he sweat beads of blood. Folks, why would he sweat beads of blood? The child of the living God, all man, all God. How could he be afraid of humiliation? How could he be afraid of the beatings? How could he be afraid of dying? He was God. But there was something in the cup that he was saying, take away from me, Father. There was something in that cup. You see, the Pharisees, the religious system, just like today, had hijacked the people, had brainwashed the people, mind control. They had hijacked God, if it were possible. It's not possible to hijack God, but they made their own God. And they called him the real God. And Jesus came to take that away. The curtain was torn, the veil pulled back. Demons exposed. Was it painful to die on the cross? You both believe it. Was it humiliating? Of course. Excruciating? I can't imagine. The demons trembled because they knew it was over for them as Jesus hung on the cross and the blood that came from his body and hit the ground had my name on it, had your name on it, because he died for you and he died for me. But what was in the cup to have him ask the Father to take it away? Jesus came to destroy religion. I'm talking about the fake belief in a fake God. He came to destroy that. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the only one that can go, that how you can get to the Father. You have to go through me. That's what he proclaimed. He came to speak the truth. But to do that, he had to do something, and that's what was in the cup. Let's go to Psalms 23:4. This is what David wrote. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are my rod and your staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David wasn't talking about just dying, walking through the valley of death, though it can be. What was in that cup, folks? Was the fact that Jesus had to bear this alone. He had to walk this road alone. He had to carry that cross all by himself. He had to die all by himself. And just as the heavens turned dark and everything turned black, he looked up to his daddy and he said, "Dad, where are you? You're my last hope." And the father had to turn his back on his only son, because he knew Jesus had to walk it, had to do it alone. Alone. You see, folks, that's what was in that cup. The fact that Jesus died for you and I. He went to hell. He went through hell for you and I. Alone. You see, you and I, we go to church. Maybe you'll go to church this Easter Sunday and you'll have family with you. After church, you'll go home and you'll eat dinner. You'll have family with you. You'll go to bed and you've got family. But just as we're together on this day and we're celebrating with family, we're not alone. We have people around us. But just remember that our Lord, the Son of the living God, had to do this alone. He had nobody. He had no family. He looked from the cross, "Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." Because he knew he was going to be alone. For a moment, he would have no family. For a moment, he would have no father. Or he had a father, but the father had to turn away. He couldn't watch. Why? Because Jesus took on every ounce, every single verb, every single letter of the word of sin for you and I. But he did it alone. But see, I want you to understand, the cup wasn't the mission of Christ. That wasn't his assignment. His assignment was to set the people free. He was the Holy Lamb. The cup wasn't how it was done. It's the way it had to be done. He had to do it alone. You and I have an assignment. You and I have a mission. And this is God's plan for you and for I. And just like Mel Novak, who was a great warrior for God, I call him a Hollywood hero, he had an assignment. You see, but Jesus didn't focus on his pain. He focused on the plan of God. When we focus on the plan, we forget the pain. See, Jesus said, "Not my will, your will," because Jesus knew the Father had a plan. So when he focused on it, he could do it. Today, we're going to stop focusing on our pain and start focusing on God's plan. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for I. And God has given us a cup. And if you're like me, I'm sure you've asked God to take this cup away. "God, I can't do this. God, it's too big. God, I'm broke. God, I'm sick. God, I'm lonely." Because why? We focus more on the pain than we do the plan. For the past 10 years, I saw Mel suffer. I don't know that I'd seen any person suffer the way he did. Back pain, leg pain, arthritis. And I'm sure somewhere in the shadows, he would ask the Father to take the cup away. And he even said to me at times, as he was crying in pain, I said, "Mel, do you want me to pray for God to take you home?" He'd call me, he'd be in tears. He'd say, "David, I've taken all the painkillers I can. They're not doing any good." I said, "Mel, can I pray that God will take you home? Can I?" He said, "No, David." He said, "No, it's not time. Don't ask God to take this cup away. I've still got work to do in Hollywood. Even in the midst of his pain, he laid there in a nursing home, in a sick bed. And he said to me, let's make the last evangelist. Eyes would brighten up. He never wanted God to take away his cup. What was the cup? The cup that he had to do this alone. You see, in Hollywood, there's not many of us, folks. It's not easy. And where you are, you don't have to be in Hollywood. Every place on earth now is Hollywood. It won't be heavenly wood until Jesus comes back. It's Hollywood. So it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in Hollywood. You can be in any wood. It ain't easy. You're walking alone. You got family that comes against you. They make fun of you. You go to work. They don't want to hear about it. You've been fired. You've been ridiculed. God's given you a mission. Say, God is bigger than me. I can't do this. You see, when we take God's cup, we have to understand that we do this alone. And it doesn't matter if you have to ride a bicycle because your car's broken down, or you've got to skip a meal because you don't have the extra money, or you're in physical pain to the point you can't walk. Take your cup, move forward. And miraculously, God will take away that pain. Miraculously, God will give you the provision if he gives you the vision. You say, well, David, looks like God didn't take Mel's pain away. Interesting you would say that. And I said that. You know what he said to me? He said, no. David, he's not going to take it away. I said, why, Mel? He says, because this is my thorn. This is what causes me, helps me lean on God. But you see, when Mel was preaching the gospel, he didn't know the pain. He didn't feel the pain. Say, David, I'm sick. David, I'm broke. David, I'm still struggling with addiction. My life seems to be messed up. Take your cup. It'll go away. Take the cup. You see, there's too many people in church taking the cup of communion. Even this morning, they want to take the cup of communion, but they don't want to take the cup that God has given them. You cannot take the cup of communion unless you take your cup that's been assigned to you. That's why Scripture said people are sick. They're taking it for the wrong reason. Don't take the cup of communion until you're willing to take the cup that God has given you. And that is the cup of you're going to walk alone. It's between you and God. God's given us our move forward cup. He's given us our do our mission cup. And by the way, you say, David, I don't like being alone. You're not alone. You're with God. You see, the Father will never turn his back on you like he did his son. He doesn't have to. It's been done. Jesus was nailed to the cross. You can never be nailed to a cross and pay for anybody's sins, much less your own. Neither can I. That's done. But Jesus said, we carry our cross. Why? Because we all have our garden. We all have our time of prayer to God. We all have a cup in front of us that God says, take this cup. You see, the reason that we can take the cup of communion is because Jesus took the cup that God gave him. God gave Jesus the cup of sin, the cup of death. Excruciating pain, horror pain, yes, but in that was Lamius. Meaning, alone. For Jesus, for that split second when the Father turned his back on Jesus. But now our cup is filled with grace, love. But we must understand that we're to do it alone with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But we can't depend on people around us. You can't depend on your family. I'm sure you have a lovely family. I have a lovely family. You can't depend on them. That's not what Scripture says. It says father will turn against son against father, mother against daughter. You can't depend on your coworkers. They'll stab you in the back the minute that you get a raise and they don't. You can't depend on people. Jesus did not depend on people. He didn't trust them. But you can always count on the Father. He's given you a mission. He's given you an assignment. But don't count on anybody. If God brings people into your life, so be it. What's your assignment? Do you even know your assignment? And this morning, we're going to ask God for clarity of assignment. I still work on my assignment. I still need the clarity. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for your neighbor, for your brother, for your sister. What does that mean? Does that mean lay out and die? No, not necessarily. It means you are someone's last evangelist. You are someone's last evangelist. You never know when you're the last time they're going to see and hear about Jesus. Mel was 92 years old when he passed. And I remember at 70 and 80 years old, he's jumping around like a teenager. Most people that age would be dead or in a nursing home, but not Mel. He was excited about God. He took his cup. He had a job to do. He was more than focused on his mission. He knew he had to do it alone. Despite the pain. It's like a mother giving birth to a child, the excruciating pain that she goes through. But then when it's all over and she's holding the baby, would you do it again? Yes, I'm going to have another baby. I think I'm going to have 4, 5, 6. We had 6 kids. I don't know how my wife did it. Why? Because the mother focuses on the plan, not the pain. I don't want you to hate the homeless. You know, we've been getting all this rhetoric on the news about the homeless and they do this. And yes, there's bad people that are homeless, but there's also people, I want to call it innocent homeless. They really are homeless. They really did have a bad time. They really have struggled financially. They are mentally not competent to perhaps maneuver through society the way that they need to. I know, because whenever I started making movies and God gave me success in Hollywood, God spoke to me, says, I don't want you to go into big time churches and talk to Hollywood elites. I want you to go out on the streets. This was 30 years ago. So he told me to make sandwiches and put scriptures in the little baggies and make these scriptures, draw out these scriptures and put them in the sandwich. So even my wife and I, and even when our kids started getting older, we would all make these sandwiches and we'd go down on Skid Row in a car and I'd roll down the window and I'd ask God, show me who I'm supposed to give this sandwich to. I'd only have maybe 30 or 40 sandwiches. And God would always say, roll down your window, there's somebody here. And I'd stop in front of a tent and I'd say, excuse me. Someone come out and I'd give them a sandwich and they would look at me and they, as if God ordained it, and say, thank you, sir. But then there was this one time, and I'll never forget. There was this man standing in front of a tent. I had 5 sandwiches left. I said, sir, would you like a sandwich? And he looked up at me and he walked over. He said, yes, thank you. And he took the sandwich. And he said, sir, I've got a wife and 3 children inside the tent. Would you have any more sandwiches? I had exactly 5 sandwiches. God told me, God ordained that time. I'll never forget this, folks. I remember the guy's face, what he looked like, young guy. I gave him all the sandwiches. I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm sorry you're here like this. He just said, as long as my family's together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You see, you want to talk about Easter. It's not Easter I have a problem with. It's the fact that people need to take Easter out of the church and put it out on the streets like Jesus did. That cup was Jesus walking alone on the streets, speaking truth to the people when the Pharisees, the religious system, wanted to kill him. He was doing it alone. He did pick up his disciples, but at the beginning, they had no clue what was going on. God's calling you this morning. He's saying, take me out of the church. Take me out of the Bible study and take me to the people. That's what he's crying out this morning. We have all these events in these different churches and these ceremonies. I'm not coming against them. God knows their heart. I don't. But all of these things, and yet you go down and you see people laying in the gutter and you see people lonely. You see homeless people, families. Where's their Easter? Who's with them? But if we took it out of the church and we took it and we plopped it in the street, in the parks, in the county courtyards, and just started preaching the word of God. I wish they'd close every church on a Sunday morning just for one time. People couldn't get into church. And they would have to go out on the streets. They would have to go out on the streets. And that's what Mel did. He went out on the streets for Jesus. Is God touching your heart this morning to go out on the street for Jesus? I've been doing what I'm doing for over 15 years. And God's saying, David, keep it real. Keep it with the people. Keep it for the people. Speak the truth. And it's a lonely road, folks, I'm telling you. And I know for you it's a lonely road, because if you're with me this morning, chances are we've been jiving together all this time. But we're going to sing a song this morning. We've sang many times. But as we sing it, I want the words to be extra special this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. Don't just sing the words. Look, I want you to understand. If you're saying you've decided to follow Jesus, what you're saying is you're committing to walking in his footsteps. And if you're committing to walking in his footsteps, you have a cross and you have a cup, and you need to take that cup. Let's sing it.
I have decided follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Lord, as we pray this morning, there are people you have touched, and you're saying to them, you're going to walk this road. You're going to walk straight toward me. It may seem like you're alone, but you're not. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. None go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Everybody sing with me. We have decided to follow Jesus. We have decided to follow Jesus. We have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Perhaps this morning you've said, David, I've decided to take my cup. I don't care the consequences. I'm focusing on God's plan and not my pain. Right now, where you are, we have a thing called the altar. You can get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for not taking my cup, but now I'm taking it, Lord. It's called repenting. Maybe there's someone out there who doesn't know the Lord. You say, David, I want to know God. God wants to know you. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know the only way to heaven is through your son, Jesus Christ, who I believe you sent to die for me on the cross. I accept it, Lord. Be my God. If you prayed that prayer, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to sing with me this one last verse. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross is before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Everybody. We have decided to follow Jesus. Keep singing. Have decided to follow Jesus. Have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. I believe this morning that there's many out there, myself included, that understand that we need to take this cup just like Jesus took it. And we're going to now walk. And folks, I'm not saying that there's no one going to be around you. But you got to understand, it's you and God. It's me and God. Because we will stand before God one day. There won't be any priest. There won't be any preacher. There won't be a Bible study committee. There won't be anything. It'll just be you, and it'll be God. It'll be me and God. Will he hear, well done, good and faithful servant? So my question is, why did Jesus not want to take that cup? What was in it? What was in it? It's called commitment. Understanding that we all have a road that we need to walk down. I want to bring in Shanita. See if we have any prayer requests, praise reports.
Good morning there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really meditating on what you said about when I take communion. I mean, that's a reflection of my willingness to take whatever cup he requires of me.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. God laid in my heart. So, David, people are taking the cup of communion all over the world, but they're not taking my cup that I'm giving them. And what a heartbreaking thought, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take a cup of communion until I can tell God, God, I'm taking your cup. If I can't tell God that whatever morning I'm taking it or whenever I'm taking it, I won't take mm-hmm. the cup of communion. I need to take God's cup. So mm-hmm. anyway, all right. Well, your hair looks nice. Is that a Resurrection Sunday hairdo?
Thank you. No, it's the first fruits do. So, yes, you have a photo to show of a praise report. And while you're getting that up.
I do. I have a photo. Okay. Okay. I'm going to put up, let's see. I want to put, this is Diane. I'm going to put up, show her. Says, I didn't receive a single invite to go to church last week or this week, being Easter Sunday, even though I live around a couple of Christians who attend regularly. Glad to be here. Thank you. Well, thank you, Diane.
We're glad you're here, Diane.
Yeah. And that's sad, mm-hmm. you know, at least because I said, take it out of the church, put it on the street. But if you're going to keep it in the church, maybe bring some of this people on the street to the church. Somehow get to the people. Right. Anyway, Tom says, what's your plan? What's your plan? He says, what is mm-hmm. your plan? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. What's my plan? We got to work on that plan. Maybe next week I'll do a sermon on our plan. First of all, to get your plan, mm-hmm. you got to understand the mission. Plan comes right. secondary, Tom. The mission, the assignment. Mm-hmm. Primary, you must have clarity of assignment, clarity of purpose. And I will, mm-hmm. matter of fact, I'm going to talk on that next week, how we need to define that, how we need to work on it. Once you have the clarity of purpose, the plan, then you have, a purpose, then you have a plan for that. Okay. Now, Jesus mm-hmm. knew the Father's plan because Jesus knew his clarity of purpose. He knew he was the sacrificial lamb. He knew why he was born, why he walked the face of the earth, what he had mm-hmm. to do. But he knew God's plan, the Father's plan to do it. So he already knew that, but he had to take the cup of loneliness, the cup if he had to do it alone. Everybody was going to turn against him. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
Well, I think this quote from Catherine, who is a working actress in Los Angeles, kind of reveals your plan. She says, I enjoyed the first episode of Last Evangelist. Your content is so needed today. The fact that you aren't letting fear mongers who threaten to shut you down stop you from putting this out there is outstanding. Well done all around.
Oh, thank you, Catherine, right? Catherine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Catherine. That means so much to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure so much, Shanita. We feel like we walk alone, mm-hmm. even though we had people help us, and you all have helped mm-hmm. us. But mm-hmm. we don't have studios. We don't have the Hollywood system. We have a lot of people come against us. The religious people come against us, and people that don't like God at all sometimes come against us. More religious people. But we thank God for you all, and we thank God for everything you've done. And while we're on that note, this is Last Evangelist Episode 1. It's about Christian persecution. This is about the vaccine, Episode 2. And if you would like to go sign up to David Heavener TV, we have over 1,000 shows, all these subjects, Hollywood Mind Control, Alien Demon Connection, just goes on and on with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar and Michael Lake. And look at all this. It's Prophecy Channel. I mean, you can go to davidheavener.tv and you can sign up and go with underground with us too. Go underground. Mm-hmm. Plus, it helps us with the ministry too. And also on that note, just so people understand, I do this once a week in case people do want to pray for us or donate. You can go to davidheavener.tv/give or text the word CHOSEN to 91999 or call 844-806-888. 0006. Thank you. Well, Shanita, you said I had a picture. I don't have that picture, but won't you tell me about the person that you're talking about?
Well, Shelley, who's been with the ministry from the very beginning, serving us in so many ways, her grandson is wearing on his name tag to middle school, Jesus is King. And we're just delighted that he is living an unashamed life. So thank you, Colton, for your testimony at your public school. We're so proud of you and grateful for you.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had it. I would definitely bring it up, but don't see it here. I'm not sure how it's listed, but yes, praise God. And Shelley's been with us a long time. And Shanita, before we go, do we have any praise reports, prayer requests?
From some of our people are experiencing nausea, heart issues, really bad headaches because of the CMEs, the coronal mass ejections from the sun, this massive burst of plasma and the magnetic field. So it's impacting our magnetic field and causing disruptions with satellites and power grids. Praying for Rena's friend. Happy birthday this past week to Amy's mom, now 81. We're praying for Vanessa, for her husband, Myron, for all the prodigals, for those who are struggling with addictions, and those who are dealing with loneliness.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Well, Shanita, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and thank you for all you do. And
it's an honor to be here.
Yeah. I love your Resurrection Day hairdo. All right. God bless you. She's going to kill me. But I do like her hair. I don't know if you like her hair or not, but I happen to like it. You guys like it? Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us. Thank you for allowing me, using me, little me, nothing me, to be able to share. Thank you for everyone listening that's out there right now for being here. We know this is not by accident. That's anointed, it's appointed. And right now, I'm asking God, there's people out there that need a healing. There's someone out there that is suffering severe pain in their body, commanding a healing in Jesus' name. Someone has a mother that's really sick, commanding a healing in Jesus' name. Someone out there that's suffering from something about your mouth, I'm not sure if your tongue or dental or whatever, commanding healing in Jesus' name. We're commanding the healing that take away the glaucoma, take away any heart condition, cleanse the liver, cleanse the body. We thank you, Lord, for delivering our children, that the mothers will not go to the clinic tomorrow. These babies will live. We pray for all the children caught up in human trafficking, the runaways, the children that are abused. And we're praying right now for a hedge of protection that the devil cannot abuse the children. Children are being set free right now as we speak all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. And thank you all. I appreciate you all so much. I really do. We'll be right back in just a moment. I'm going to play you this, and then I want to just close with a few more words on Mel Novak. We talked about him earlier about, well, they call him the mayor of Skid Row, you know, and I think it's important that when people go into Hollywood and spend their lives doing something. And he wasn't a big star, but he needs to be recognized because he was a star in heaven. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I just want to thank you for watching my shows. My new show, episode 2 of Last Evangelist, is out. It's about the jab, the deadly jab, the truth of it. And if you'd like to see it, you can go to davidhebner.tv and watch it. It talks about the Mark of the Beast, the new AI Bible, this new Jesus they've created. I want you to go and sign up right now, davidhebner.tv, or call 844-806-0006. Episode 2 depicts of the world of which the vaccine operates, the deception behind it, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the very near future. You know, we're in the middle of filming episode 3 of Last Evangelist. And if you haven't seen episode 1 and 2, you got to watch it. Episode 3 deals with mind control, AI. And folks, it's coming. And I'm asking if you'll get involved in donating to episode 3. Just go to lastevangelist.com and you can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can get hats, t-shirts, whatever, but it will help us. God said, go to my people, don't go to studios. And I'm not. I'm going to God's people, coming to you. So please help us with this to get the word out to expose the Antichrist. Go to lastevangelist.com. If you would like to help out the ministry, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give. I love you guys. God bless. Yeah. That was Mel Novak, who we're talking about here. He's like from old Hollywood. Look, there you go, right there, see? He loved Last Evangelist. He kept me going. He kept encouraging me. He was ready to do episode 4, even on his bed of dying or whatever you want to call it. But he was so positive. And so I wanted to spend this time honoring him, because he was such a warrior for God. And we're going to go out just a second, just honoring him, giving him the honor that he deserves. I want to thank you all for being with me. And thank you, God, for sending people like Mel Novak into my life, and to everyone listening out there into my life. God bless you all.